Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. This is Jansen Brooks, and today is October 9th, 2021, and I want to thank everybody for calling in today. You know, this is going to be an interesting day because I had a guest lined up, and we were going to talk about the success of Nigerian immigrants to the United States educationally and so forth. And he had to cancel at the last minute. His son was having a basketball tournament. And if you have kids, you know that when they're having these soccer games and basketball tournaments that you got to take them, you got to be there for them. So what I thought we would do today is have an open forum whereby you can talk about anything you want to talk about. And this is a great opportunity. This is something that I've been wanting to do for quite some time. And today is a perfect opportunity to do it. So if you want to talk to other people today about something that's on your mind, have a conversation, then by all means press 1 on your phone and we can talk about it. I have on the line my conservative friend, Mr. Pianki, today. Say hi, Pianki.
Hello, how you doing?
All right. Hey, before I get started, let me just tell you a little bit about the concept of the Council of Elders. It's a concept, a very old concept, whereby elders in the community will talk to younger people, give them advice, counseling about some of the issues that they're going through, and just try to share wisdom and knowledge that they've gained over the years. A little bit about my progress with that. You know, sometimes I think that I may have bitten off more than I can chew. I wanted to have an organization, build it from scratch, and have it spread throughout the country and everything. But it was really starting to get into my workflow. It was really becoming very difficult to manage that and at the same time make a living. Well, at the same time, I discovered that there's a group called the 100 Black Men that wheel has already been invented. They do mentoring. They do scholarships. They do everything that I had in mind doing, and I'm not really reinventing the wheel, so I'm pondering joining that group and just doing some of the same things that I would be doing with the Council of Elders concept, but it would just be with a national organization that's already, like I say, the wheel has already been invented. So with that, we'll see how that goes. Now, anybody that would like to talk about anything you want to today, that's fine. Press the number 1 on your phone, and we'll begin a conversation. Pianki, you want to start us off?
Well, I come to participate in the show and contribute it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't prepare any subjects to talk about. Of course, there's a lot out there that can be talked about, from health
right.
to politics. So I wish you had your Nigerian friend, and I think, what were you going to ask him about?
Well, what we were going to talk about was it's something, Pianki, that you told me a few weeks ago about Nigerian immigrants in the United States are actually more educated than immigrants, coming from other countries, England, France, Russia. Nigerian immigrants are some of the most educated and successful immigrants that we have in the United States, and you rarely hear about it, but as I was doing some research on that, I found out that a lady from Connecticut, a Nigerian lady, she had written a book about Nigerian immigrant success and so forth. And she's kind of an obscure author, but the book can be found on Amazon. And another thing that came to my mind was that, the NFL had some problems with concussions, and it was a Nigerian doctor that figured this out, that, a lot of NFL players were suffering long-term because of concussions that they're having in football in the NFL, which highlighted something that, there's, as in terms of doctors in the United States, black doctors, a good many of them are from Nigeria. So it was something that I'm starting to wake up to, and I wanted to highlight it on this show.
Well, they don't have to necessarily be immigrants. They could be first, second, or third generation.
Well, okay,
yes, they have the highest education attainment of any immigrant at any given point in time. It may not be year after year. I mean, even more so than Asians and even whites. And African immigrants on a whole do better than native black Americans do. Now, that there is a fact when it comes to education, household income, and so on and so on. So they may want to be a group that you study, and rather than listen to a lot of other inputs. So, yes, I have to put emphasis on them. I mean, you've had some cases where you've had black student union groups like in Cornell complain that too many Africans are being admitted. And that would be racist if somebody else was doing it. Now, mm-hmm. I do mm-hmm. think that when immigrants come here, they should not be afforded the same privileges that was set aside for black America, but usually they don't have to ask for that. They usually perform academically on their own without any set asides. And then one have to ask, why is that? The black is Wesley Snipes. You don't see him protesting, doing BLMs, and so on and so on and so on. So
right,
that's
right,
what
right.
I start
right.
off with.
I have a gentleman that I talked to earlier this week, last week, and he's going to be on pretty soon, but right now it's on the weekends, it's a little tied up. But, yeah, I wanted to just talk to Nigerians, first, second, third generation immigrants to just find out their philosophies, because I think that black Americans could learn a lot from their philosophy and their work habits and so forth. And so that's something that I will be checking out. And I don't know.
Yeah, one
I
could
about
one
together.
Could study it, but you got black Americans here still use that same type of philosophy. I was on a show earlier today at the 9 o'clock where I was explaining my family and how we go about doing things, which basically, in many cases, mimic what you see coming out of that particular ethnic group. And it's something that was pretty much more of a norm than an exception as it is today. I mean, you don't marry See, anybody came to marry date my daughter, I've done background checks on. You don't marry my daughter. Matter of fact, you don't go to her. You go to her brothers. Or you go to her uncles. So it's just things like that is practiced. Academics is the number one thing. Sports is, and activities like that is second. So it's things like that that's a standard rule that has to be followed.
Right. Well, yeah, I just think that more of this knowledge should be distributed out. More people know, should be able to know about it. And it's inspirational, like you said. Nigerians are black as Wesley Snipes, and they're doing well when a lot of American blacks are not. Now, let me just say this. I don't want to discount the contributions that American blacks have made, because if it wasn't for the Harriet Tubmans and the Sojourner Truths and the Marcus Garveys and the Malcolm X's and the Martin Luther King's and the Medgar Evers, no black immigrant could come to America and thrive, because the way hadn't been paid for them. But actually, at this point, the way has been paid for them, so they would owe a debt of gratitude for some of black Americans that have come up until now. So I don't want to, you know.
Well, to be truthful with you, blacks are doing well in this country going back to the 1600s, way before Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey. And people make references to what they've been taught. Many times, it's only one side of the coin. And
right,
blacks weren't slaves, so what Harriet Tubman done would not have been something that they would have gravitated to. You know, you had blacks, like I've told you before, you had blacks that sponsored settlers to this country. In doing so, they received free land, 50 acres. So this, how you look at things.
Right. I see we have a caller, 8473, state your name and where you're calling from.
All right,
caller,
sir. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, Ron Rogers, calling from Sacramento, California. And I got in a little bit late, but I think I know who the brother is that's on this morning. Would you state your name for me again, sir?
My name is Pianchi, sir.
Okay, very good.
My entire name is Pianchi Bankole Akin Wale Kofi Mega Ebe Nifakar.
Amen. Y'all get your roots. That's good. You know, I definitely agree with a lot of the things that you're saying, but it's always been my nature, as you say, with your family too. I have to appreciate where I came from. And unfortunately, in this day and time, too many of our black people don't have that stability. And again, that's the reason I feel it's so important that we start teaching. Stop keeping to ourselves. Start teaching folks you don't know. And the way that you have a, if you will, I'm not trying to be ugly, condescending view on people that just don't know. It's our responsibility to step up and start teaching folks, not criticize.
I hear what you say, but it's like this. You can't love somebody else's child more than somebody else do, than their parent do. And your we is your family. That's what I told some people today. your we is your family, because all family is not the same. That's what I'm about to say also, that you just don't give your daughter to anybody. You want to check out their family. I had a friend of mine whose daughter wanted to marry a South African. And I know that family, Brother Sanyika. So him and his wife went to South Africa and stayed with the young man's family to see what it was all about before he would permit that. So every person here in this country that you see that's got skin color look like you is not the same. Skin don't akin to kin.
Right.
And that's what you have to realize. People don't want to realize that, but facts is fact. Reality is reality. I'm down here in the South now. Blacks down here in the South is more courteous than they are in the North. That's because they're not the same. They was brought up different. And they demonstrate, and not only blacks, whites too. They demonstrate that air of a respect, and that you see, and especially if you're somewhere else and you're not used to that, then you take mental note.
Well, and you don't know. You don't necessarily have to grow up outside the South to realize that it's wrong. And those people are the ones that really suffered during that whole time of what we call a regeneration of black rights, and what we call the civil rights movement. No, that was the only reason we won that, again, is because we had white folks that came over to help out. Let's be serious. If you hadn't had some white folks in front of that camera, it'd just been another Negro dead. So,
well, whites as human beings have done good things, bad things. You know, it was the British that stopped slavery in Ghana. If not, that was in the early 1900s, especially among the Ashanti. It was their governors that put the protectorate Well, it's history. It's what we're talking about. Exactly. Until you people that have opportunity to see different ethnic groups of people and how their traditions play out and so on. Human beings are human beings.
Right.
I mean, that's what it boils down to. Human beings are human.
Everybody has their good and bad. And see, again, I'm like you. And not only look at the Nigerians, okay, they're good at what they do. I'm sorry, but I think that most West Africans are thieves. But they have a way.
Well, you can't say most West Africans are thieves. That there would be racist, what you just said.
You don't
know most West Africans.
And it is. I admit it. But what I'm saying is, I also look at the Japanese because of the way that they do their business. Come the end of the year, they pay their bills off. I like that.
Ron, let me say this. I think that that is a misconception. You know, most West Africans are thieves. I have to disagree with you respectfully on that. And I think that probably that notion came from the programming that we've had. You know, we don't get, our media does not give us a picture that's positive about anything that should be positive to us, you know. And so to categorize all West Africans as thieves, I wouldn't do that. And let me say this. If you would have asked me 10 years ago about Nigeria, I would have said the same thing. Oh, they're scammers. They try to get you on the Internet, you know, and take your money and this and that. But I think that is a misnomer. And it's purposeful. that it's being propagated on us. So let's be careful about saying, okay, and, you know, all.
Yeah,
all
yeah. And I wish to apologize. Yeah, I wish to apologize about that because, again, that's something that kind of cuts me deep in my dealings with them. So, again, I do apologize for that statement. That's not necessarily true. So,
apologies.
Thank you for bringing my.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, right. It's not necessarily true. Now, when I say that Africans got rid of their riffraff, that's how many who you call your ancestors got here to the Western Hemisphere. It's true. They got rid of a lot of their riffraff. They're not the only nation that done it. Britain done it, and they formed the country of Australia. So people don't want to, you know, it's funny how people take on these notions. It's based on what they was taught, what they came to believe, or what they read. But
I have to withdraw with that because, as I said, this was kind of my personal experience, and that's only my personal experience. That's the reason I have to apologize for that. Because there has been some very successful Africans. I'll put it all over the nation, very successful. And again, that's the reason I was apologizing. It's not apologizing for what I have been through, but for making that statement, I was wrong. So,
well, let me just say that we have a few other listeners today, so... today is an open forum. We just happened to start talking about a guest that I was supposed to have who was going to highlight the fact that many Nigerian immigrants are doing very well in this country, and I wanted to get him on to just talk about the philosophies and the ideas that they have and what they, you know, try to instill in their youth. But we don't necessarily have to remain on that subject. If you have something that you'd like to talk about, then by all means, press number one on your phone, and we can do it. Today is an open forum day, and I thank everybody for calling in. Okay, gentlemen, Ron, what were you saying again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was done. I just wish that everybody will accept my apology for my statement. So,
No. But you know what? The sentiment that you had was the same sentiment I would have had about Nigerians several years ago. Because, you know, once something gets started, it takes on a life of its own. You know, then
exactly.
When I
so.
As far as
you know, Nigeria would be the second largest population on earth. When you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that fifth person would be a Nigerian on the planet by the end of this century, as projected.
But see, again, I think that has a lot to do with where we are. See, we have a real problem with hating ourselves, and we'll find reasons to hate ourselves. And again, if nothing else, we have the color of our skin to unite us. So let's just step back, take a second look at it, and move on.
Well, that's kind of superficial, too, because all Nigerians are united together, and 99% of the country, what we call here in the United States, is black. They don't identify like that there. But here in the United States, you got a peculiar way of doing things.
Yeah, well,
and it
you're
evolves.
Expected to learn it anyway. If you're going to succeed, you will learn that. So,
yeah.
Again,
the way
what
you call Black Americans use the word black is confusing. It has evolved.
Yeah, it's
you know, it's got all kinds of definitions and prepositions, and it's confusing. And really, like I told you my name. See, those, now that Nigerian was on here today, he would tell you exactly where we come from and my family, because he recognized it in the name. Because names supposed to reveal land, history, and culture. And we wouldn't have to say anything. He'd just look at my name. Sometimes you just look at the facial because they have tribal marks on their facial. You know where they come from. So here in the United States, you use the term black way broadly. It ain't, apparently it's not skin color. And then some people say it's about language. Some people say it's about music. So it's very, very confusing.
Right, right. Well, if there's anything else that anybody would like to talk about, please feel free. We can talk about it. We've got about another half an hour or so. And today is an open forum. So anything you want to talk about, like I said, go right ahead. Let's see. So we talked, like I say, the conversation was kind of going on Nigerian success here in the United States.
You know, another thing that you need to make mention is about the things you coming down like with these mandates and these ridiculous things called vaccine passports and so on and so on and so on. And basically that shows you, you know, the whole thing about the pandemic, it shows you the ignorance in the population, no matter who they are, compared to how they used to be. And that ignorance is due to the education. Children today are not being educated along the lines of science and also biology. And when something like this pops up, everybody is afraid because of their lack of knowing what's going on. And they begin to believe anything.
Right, right. So are you pro-vaccination?
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question, if you will. Yeah, this is Ron. How do you feel about this new education programming that we're going through? What are your feelings on that? And how do you feel about this, their so-called race teaching?
Well, I don't know what, when you say the education that we are going through, I don't know exactly what you are talking about, because apparently we live in different parts
program.
Of the country.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It's,
are you talking
it's
about
under
critical
attack.
Race theory?
There we go. Thank you, Jensen.
Well, me personally, I don't want that taught to my children, from what I know about it. And as far as education is concerned, that's supposed to be under the control of the parents in school districts. Some states have it written in their statutes that it's the parents, the school district's control, not the state. The federal government has nothing to do with how you educate your children. That's another thing. People depend on the federal government too much, especially blacks. Now, there was a time when you need, but now it depends on the federal government too much. Actually, you want the least amount of their input into your life.
Oh, yes. Piyaki, what do you know about critical race theory? Because I don't really know that much about it. From what I can hear, it's this teaching kids that the United States is and has been systematically racist, and it's pointing out evidence and instances of that. So can you highlight anything that you might know about critical race theory, or anyone that's on the line, actually?
Well, it depends on what you read. Not to see it as an attack on white males in particular. The United States is not systematically racist. It has not been. you've had some incidents that people play out.
Okay. The United States is not systematically racist. Okay.
You talking about
Bianca,
people. There's no legislation. There's no legislation that says that. Where is it?
I don't know about the legislation, but I know about the hearts of men, Bianchi. So,
those individuals. Individuals, according, you have a right to like and dislike whoever you choose. Governments cannot make you like people.
And again,
right. We could argue about that all
yeah.
day. You know, one side would say, why is it that black people had to fight for the vote, you know?
Well, based on what? Be more explicit. Black males had the right to vote before white women in the United States, according to the Constitution.
According to the
Constitution.
Right. And that's most valuable to say, because the Constitution doesn't say that we don't have the right to be a human being. But it does say in a few states that we're less than a third of a man. So
but
it's not
where, you know, hang on for a second.
It's just
how it's perceived
and how it's executed.
Yeah, now perception is based on how people look at things they may not understand. Where is it in law that it states this? Where it started off as an act, then it was legislated, where it was passed as a legislative law. You can't. It don't exist.
So remember, we're still trying to get anti-lynching law into effect, sir.
Well, yeah, but who's
being
lynched?
Come on, like you say, it's a little late, but we're still trying to get that done.
Yeah, but
so
you
can't say that it's all constitutional, because if it's constitutional is one thing, but is it just is another.
Well, you saying that lynching was a crime that was committed by people onto other people. It was never law.
And that's what I'm saying. We're still trying to get that passed as a law.
It shouldn't have to be passed as a law. You cannot – wait a minute for a second. You cannot legislate people's behavior. You got males – you got in some families where sons are having sex with their mama. So then you mean to tell them we
got
to legislate that as being illegal? Really, it's not illegal.
That ain't got nothing to do with lynching, though. That ain't got nothing to do with lynching.
See, yeah, but
what's
going on? Wait a minute. It's going on, but I don't see nobody being lynched unless it's a punishment for a crime legally found guilty of. That's the way a state choose to do. Some states
talking about
bringing back the firing squad.
It takes sometimes 40, 50 years to get justice, but eventually it comes. That's the same way it was when they killed, now I can't even think his name. What's his name down there in Alabama? Jensen, what was his name? They shot him, and they finally.
Let me ask you a question.
Later,
what's more important, the fact that so many black children are failing educationally or lynching?
The kids.
Ask that Nigerian. That Nigerian family when he come on. They ain't gonna be talking about no lynching. And they black as I said, as Isaac Hayes and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. Well, again, and see, totally out of context. Because see,
no,
they,
it's not
they,
out of
they
context.
They
get to the point where you know there's a listing. There's a listing.
They haven't got the same lifestyle as either one of them folks.
There's a listing. Well,
you
choose to have that lifestyle. Nobody's making you take that lifestyle. You know, there's a listing of things that they use as a basis and call mental illness. You should look at that list.
And they use it quite. They use it quite often on us.
Who is us?
But we're not supposed to be. People still.
Who is us and we? You got to ask those questions.
Let's try a kid whose mother was on this same program here some weeks ago.
What program?
This program.
Oh, you mean this show? Okay, go ahead.
This show program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His name was Miles Hall. The people killed a policeman killed him in Walnut Creek, California. He was mentally ill. The cops knew it. But
well, who controls? Well, hang on for a second. You saying the police in what city?
Walnut Creek, California.
All right. Now let me explain something about that. That's Walnut Creek, California. That's not where I am.
Right.
Do you understand
that? So you.
Police are employees.
I understand. You should not care. I understand that.
Wait a minute. You know, Ron, let me tell you something. You like to put a lot of jive out there. You really do. I'm not trying to be insulting, but you are. See, here's the thing.
Right.
Walnut Creek is a town of people that form the government. They elect the government. The employees are the police, the street department, the city hall. Now, it's your responsibility to control your employees, not mine. I can come to a board meeting at Walnut Creek, and I can't speak on no issues. You know why? Because I don't live there. I don't pay taxes there.
And let me explain one other thing to you with that, sir. They have already done that. This happened over 2 years ago. They did get a settlement from the city. They did get, they have a foundation going quite well about the same thing. And again, that comes down to a new bill that will be under his name for the same action. You have to take action before you get action. That's all I'm saying.
That's the responsibility of the people of that town. If they don't hold accountable that which
they
control, personally, and others,
right.
That's not our concern. We have concerns in our own community.
You know what my main point is?
Yeah.
They are just like you.
Who is they?
They live in an area. The people that suffered the loss, the people that their kid was killed, they are just like you. They have been in a bubble situation ever since he went to work, really, because they're in a multi-million dollar area.
Yeah.
There are probably three other blacks in this area.
Well, you know what, Ron, I'm going to tell you something.
This whole thing was a ground participation by everybody in the area.
Well, that's where it should
and
be.
Like
people
say,
experience
they
things.
They came together and they made it happen.
People experience things.
An example of that, and I gave it to them.
Yeah, people experience things by various ways and means. Not all the same. So if they discovered that they was lacking or let something slip by, didn't give it attention that it should be, then they found out the hard way, if you want to call it the hard way. So it's very important that you be astute, understand your civic responsibility, put things in place, especially making sure that the authority exists over that which is in place. That's your responsibility. Ultimately, you have to face the liability which will come if something goes wrong.
Let me ask you this. We kind of started this off talking about the schools and, you know, critical race theory and so forth. Would you acknowledge that there's absolutely no systematic racism, that blacks, you know, in the United States have not been hampered by governments and by people? Would you acknowledge that?
Well, for it to be hampered by government, it has to be a law that was passed that was not a just law. That's when you take it to court.
Oh, okay.
And also, how if it's a law that's applied to an agency, when the head of the agency gets that law, then they establish rules and regulations. If you think that the rules and regulations are not conducive to the law, then you take it to court. You know, what's systematic and racist is that in Chicago, in 127 days, you have had 2,304 blacks shot by other blacks, with 292 murders. That's in 127 days since May, since Memorial Day weekend. No white police shot nobody. So what you're talking about in California and then what's going on there in Illinois is night and day, seemingly.
I do agree that we have to, African Americans have to start looking in the mirror about black on black crime. With the Black Lives Matter movement, black on black crime victims matter as well. So,
well, Black Lives Matter was not, Black Lives Matter was not accepted by all black people. That's just over there. Basically, for them to be speaking on behalf of all quote-unquote United States citizens that has a skin color that's other than white is totally ridiculous. It shouldn't go that way.
Well, I don't,
the days
I don't
for
think
you
they,
having one central, the days you having one central spokesperson is that don't exist no more. Should.
Well, that's true, and I don't think they thought that they were speaking for all black people. Black Lives Matter to me, you know, it's a slogan that was thought of as a result of basically.
Yeah, we know how it started.
Right.
How it started. So, shoot, by now.
Bianchi, will you finish my conversation?
So,
it's a nice slogan. As a result of police killings. But when you look back at, you know, race riots and so forth, that's been going on basically ever since the United States has been here. You know, Watts, Detroit, Chicago, Ferguson, it's nothing new. So it's a nice slogan, but there has to be some slogan that in the case that black on black crime and black killing blacks, their lives matter too. Go ahead, Pianta. What were you going to say?
Well, you talk about Ferguson. Ferguson, Mike Brown got killed because of what he was doing, what he was involved in. That's why he got killed.
Yeah, you're right.
You have a lot of people in a community that disrespect authority at home, they disrespect authority in the school, you disrespect authority in public. It's not all. But you have a population, because of your politics, that it's not there. Then it causes a problem. Blacks moved into Ferguson because they were escaping crime and that type of disrespect for authority and people and property and everything else out of North St. Louis. They moved out there in the 60s, late 60s. And they had a nice community with tough policing. Why was the policing tough? Because that's what they wanted, because it protected their interests. Due to politics, they started moving others in that community that was not taught along those lines and didn't have the means to necessarily sustain themselves in those type of situations, communities. And things started going down. And see, really, the ones that got hurt is blacks. Their property values decreased. The schools got bad, underperforming. So after 2014, guess what? Those blacks lost money because they had to uproot and leave, which they did. Now, here's the thing. Y'all talk about systematic thing, and Ron liked to put the fusion about whites into it, and white police and brutality. Well, these blacks moved across the Missouri River west into St. Charles County. You know what the Democrats in St. Charles County, like Wentzville and St. Peter's in Mexico, Missouri, they're about 95% white. The police department, practically all white. So they couldn't have been running from those two elements because they ran to those two elements, Ron. So why did they is the question you need to ask. You talk about your African immigrants. African immigrants, Ron, don't move to the hood. Matter of fact, they move to some areas that I wouldn't move to if I had a choice. Why is that? African immigrants, well, just as black as Isaac Hayes and Wesley Snipes.
Might I address that?
Go ahead.
Because they're pretty much like you and I. I just moved to the hood. I'm very comfortable where I am. But before I got over here, I had 2 months of being in a hotel. There was nothing to be found. I didn't start out looking over here, but when I finally got this place, I was real glad. Now, that's situational. That's environmental. Ain't nobody can do nothing about that. It happened. It's over. I'm done. I'm happy. But that's not one of those decisions that you can make on a dime. Like I say, I spent 2 months in a hotel. So, no, you again, I'm like you. You work through it. But I ain't selling for just anything. And that's the way they are. They over here for a reason. They not over here trying to look like hood rats. They wasn't brought up in that. So I agree with you. I agree with you.
Well, in any case,
we have, as I said before, we just have to start talking to our people. Who your people are a lot different than who my people are. I try every day to educate my people, but every once in a while, I'm out there in the real world with some folks that I really don't care anything about, and I try to share something with them. That's the reason God put me here. So that's just me. And again, I'll back off.
Yeah, let me say that you're listening to the Council of Elders talk show today. Today we're having a open forum. If anyone would have a question or comment for us or would like to make a comment or ask question, press the number 1 on your phone, and we will entertain and we will have a conversation. Well, we've got about 10 minutes to go, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We kind of talking about basically how to improve the situation overall. Apologize for not having the guests today, but sometimes things do happen. But getting back to the Ferguson area. Now, Pianca, you're from the Missouri area originally, right?
Yes, I know it very well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I noticed you were mentioning some towns that I hadn't really heard about, not being from that area. What is the vibe there in St. Louis now?
St. Louis City?
Uh-huh.
School district down to about 20,000 students. One time is over 100,000 because people are moving. They don't want to be around the crime. downtown St. Louis, which they try to regentrify and doing a good job, you got young black kids, young people going down there, and things are just havoc. Shootings. All sort of traffic violations, doing wheelies on motorcycles and other vehicles, shooting in one bar called O'Brien, where the city council had to relook at their license for them to stay open. People who's moved in the area and complaining. They just moved in the area. Matter of fact, I knew an African, a Ghanaian family that was there on 12th in Washington in a condo, 2,400 square foot. They moved.
Okay, too much crime and going on for them.
That's what killed. You know, if your house is your number one asset, any family buys. Location is schools. Schools have to be great. Blacks have stable communities. And then all of a sudden with these politics, they start moving people in that's just not conducive for those communities. They ain't used to paying no trash bill. They ain't used to not knowing you can't jack your car up on the street and take out a transmission. When they come, you got to start having all sorts of burglar alarm systems. Then your school's turn bad.
This is Ron again. I was in a training class back in the day, 1979 probably. And you're saying the same thing, same problems that they had back then. And if you are, know about St. Louis, you know, best time I had was when I went across the river to East St. Louis. That was the ghetto at that time. So,
well, it depends on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and again, that's what I was looking for. I had the best time of my life over there. I only spent one night over there, though. I wasn't going back. But the whole point being, just like you said, it's kind of what you're looking for. These right now, you're talking about the same problems that they were having back then, because this was the first time that there was a riverboat at the bottom of the arch, and I was housed right up from that. Four black kids broke off in there and robbed that place. First time it had ever happened. And that was the news of the day. They had nerve enough to do this. So, again, time does go on. And things have really changed. And I really hate that, too, because, see, now we seem to be the aggressor. Blacks, if you will. Yeah, it's easy to point at us because we always into something.
Well, I have a question. Bianca, you mentioned about the crime in Chicago, for example. To anybody, we've only got about another 5 minutes to talk about this, but what is the solution for this? Black-on-black crime, as you say. What, 254 people in, what, just this year alone?
292 people killed in a span since May, Memorial Day weekend this past May, up until probably this past Tuesday. 2,304 people shot by other blacks. These kids got to wear backpacks that's bulletproof. When they walk down the street, they have to run and zigzag to keep from possibly hidden by bullets. You got kids 10-year-old checking themselves into the emergency room for gunshot wounds. That's a black community. You got a black mayor. You're second person in command in the states, the lieutenant governor, a black female. The number one cop in the state, a black male. The secretary of state, a black male. The police chief, superintendent, a black male. So all that stuff about we need to have people look like us in government is a bunch of bull crap, because it surely ain't working there.
Yeah, I was just thinking out loud what can be done about situations like that. I know in New York City, Rudy Giuliani had cut down on the crime a lot with the, what they call it?
Stop and frisk. Yes, people complain about it, but he did a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Right, so that might be something they have to do in Chicago. Stop and frisk.
Well, hell, you be stopping damn near every other person on the street. You know what's done about it? It's people, blacks ran. They have fled the city. They flee these areas. That's the most thing you can do about it. And therefore, if it ain't taken care of by the people, Nigerians ain't going to go take care of that. Palestinians in this country is not going to take care of that. Mexicans not. Matter of fact, Mexicans about to take over the city politically and everything else.
Oh, okay. So blacks are fleeing Chicago. I haven't been to Chicago in a while, so. But it's always had
3,000 black millionaires, as was reported in the paper, fled North Shore Drive, which overlooks the lake. They gone. I don't blame them. Who's going to want to risk their life? You don't want no kid coming up like that. I wouldn't send my child to one of them schools. Why would you? You crazy.
Right, right. 3,000 black millionaires moved from where?
North Shore Drive there in Chicago. That's the street that parallels the lake. It's got multi-story apartment buildings on it, condos and so forth. They left. I don't blame them.
Right. Well, these are the problems that the country is going to have to deal with as we move along.
No, that's not the country. That's not the country. That's those people. That's another thing. People want to throw things out there and throw it for the country to solve. The country got away. Donald Trump gave Lightfoot what he could do. She didn't want to talk to him. That's another thing. It was ratchet politics.
Oh, okay.
St. Louis been Democratic for 72 years. You can stand at the far west end of St. Louis and look east and can see damn near to Illinois. No buildings to obstruct your view in some areas because they all gone. Used to be black homes there. Whites left, ran, and blacks moved in. Wonder why whites left and ran. As if it was a prophecy come true.
Well, folks, we got a little over a minute to go. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. A little bit different show. Maybe we should do this more, have an open forum so that people can voice their opinions. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. And you can get this show and other shows by going on to Blog Talk Radio and then typing in the Council of Elders show and scroll down to the green and white logo. And you can, whatever the date of the show is, you can listen to other shows on your computer. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. Thank everybody for listening. And God willing, we'll be back on next week, the same time, same number. Okay? Goodbye, everybody. God bless you now. Bye-bye.